morning. We have a couple of announcements. This is March coming up, and it's Alabaster Month. So please remember to bring in the boxes in the back filled with your change. 100% of that goes to the missions. Nothing goes to anything else. And we like to try and get as much as we can for the missions. Also, next Sunday will be Birthday Sunday for everyone with a birthday in March. Today we have Cassie here to lead us in worship. Thank you.
Well, good morning. Well, I'm glad to be back with you guys this week. I've been in and out the past couple of weeks, and I've missed you in the time that I haven't been able to be here. I did get to spend last week at Clergy Kids Retreat, and I got to take my daughter for the first time, so that was really awesome. That's such an awesome event, and it was a really great time, so I was glad I got to be there, but I missed being here with you guys. So we're back. We didn't bring the kids with us this morning, but the two of us were back, and I hope you're okay with that. So this morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 9. If you want to go there. Sorry, I'm just going to move this a little bit. Okay, so just a few weeks ago, when I was here, we were in Luke chapter 6. And we were digging into the Sermon on the Plain. So a lot of us know about the Sermon on the Mount, but Luke chapter 6 is known as the Sermon on the Plain. And what we spoke about in that time was the plain is the level place. And when we talked about the level place a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the fact that that was very significant in that culture. It would have been like a place of mourning, a place of kind of messiness. So the mountaintop was an awesome, you know, experience and an awesome place, but as Jesus came down into the level place in the plain, there was work to be done. So we talked about that, and it was a place among hurting people. So Jesus, he came down from the mountain onto the level place, and he shared with the people some blessings, right? We talked about some blessings, but he also shared with them some warnings. So immediately following this sermon, Jesus, he continued to go around, and he was ministering to the people, and he continued to live among the marginalized, and he was preaching, and he was teaching, and he was healing, and he was doing all of this really busy work for the Lord, and he included his disciples in this work. So in the beginning of Luke chapter 9, we're going to do a little recap before we get down to where we're going to be. In the beginning of Luke chapter 9, Jesus, he gives power and authority to his disciples to go out and do the things he was doing. Preaching and teaching and healing and driving out demons and all of these things. And he gives them this power and he tells them, I want you to go around and I want you to do these things. And if you get to a town and they're not accepting of you, I want you to move on to the next one. Because we have a lot of work to do and we don't have a lot of time to do it. So he sends the people out and they're doing these things. And then the disciples, they come back and they're sharing with Jesus all of these things that they had witnessed, all the things they had experienced, all of the things that they had done, and they're saying these things. And as they're doing this, a crowd forms, and this is where the feeding of the 5,000 comes. So a lot of things are really going on at this time. It's, I imagine, you know, it was an exciting time, right? All of these really cool things are happening, miracles, the feeding of 5,000 people. The disciples had this great experience of this power that Jesus gave them. They're going out and they're doing what it was he asked them to do. But along with all of those really exciting things, it was probably very exhausting, right? Even when things are exciting and good and everything's going the way that, you know, that you want it to do, and you're doing what God asks of you, it still can be pretty tiring, right? So they're doing all of these things and you know, it's not calculated and it's not orderly and it's kind of really messy because they're living among the people. And we know people do not have it all together, right? So they're really doing a lot of things. And so they needed to get away to a solitary place, right? And they needed to be refreshed and they needed to be renewed because although this is great work, there needed to be some time of separation to reflect and speak to God. And so this is what's happening. And so Jesus, he retreats to a solitary place to pray, but he brings Peter and John and James along with him. He says, come with me. You know, we're going to go up on this mountainside and we're going to pray. And so they went to this private place and they went with him and he asks them a question. And he says, who do people say that I am? And the response is, well, some people say that you're Elijah. Some people say that you're one of the prophets from long ago. And Jesus says, okay, who do you say that I am? And Peter replies and says, well, you are the Messiah. You're the chosen one of God. And so that brings us to kind of where we're going to be. Jesus did what he did a lot of times here when they've explained this. And he said, don't tell anyone about this. I need you to keep quiet about it. And so that brings us to Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 27. And I want to read that to you really quickly before we keep going. And, well, maybe I will and maybe I won't. I turned to the wrong page. it said, and then he said to all of them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly I tell you, some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. So verse 28 is really where we're going to be today. But all of the words and all of the things that lead up to verse 28 are very important and very significant. It's important to note that the words, what we just read, those are the words in red. And so those are things that Jesus said prior to verse 28. When we get to verse 28, it then says, about 8 days after he said this. And so when I read that sentence, 8 days after he said this, that caused me to say, oh, I need to pay attention to what he just said, right? I need to pay attention because if 8 days later, he is still saying, after I said this, he's wanting the people to remember what he had previously said, right? Those words were very significant. Follow me. You have to lose your life to save it. So this is a reminder when we read this sentence, you know, about 8 days after he said this, that what happened before is significant, and we really need to remember those words as we go in to our text this morning. So our text this morning is verses 28 to 36. Yep, it's right here behind me. And I'm going to read that to you. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him, and he went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone in that time what they had seen. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we just thank you for this opportunity to come together as one body and that this time that we can spend in worship of you and hearing what it is that you have to say to us this morning. Father, allow us to have open hearts and open ears ready to hear what it is you have to say. And let the words that are spoken this morning be your words and not mine. Amen. So 8 days prior, Jesus had taken his disciples with him as he paid in private and prayed in private. And now he had chosen three disciples to accompany him on a mountaintop to pray. So they left the level place, right? They left the place that was kind of, you know, crazy and chaotic, and they went alone with Jesus to pray. And so they get up there, and Jesus, he begins to pray, and something happens as he's praying. He starts to look different. His appearance is changing. His face changed. He was bright white with a flashing white face. He was completely immersed in the presence of God, right? And not only this, not only was he completely immersed in the presence of God, but some other people showed up on the mountain. There were Moses and Elijah. They appeared in the moment, and they began talking to Jesus. So two men appear that have been gone, you know, for many, many years, and two men that would have been living in anticipation of a coming Messiah. So they would have anticipated the coming of the Savior to make all things new. And there they are. They're standing with Jesus, and they're having a conversation with him. And what they're talking to him about is all of the things that are to come, right? All of the things that are going to happen to Jesus here in the future, and really just everything that's going to be going on very, very quickly, right? And so it says that the disciples that were there were sleepy. And they didn't, you know, recognize this right at first. So I was thinking of this. I was reading this week and studying, and I thought, every time Jesus takes these guys to pray, they fall asleep. Every time he takes these guys to pray, they fall asleep. And so, you know, it says Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but then they became fully awake. They saw his glory and the two men that were standing there with him. And so it really was just crazy to me. You know, the Lord, Jesus is being obedient to the Lord. He's going to pray. He's fully immersed in this prayer, and they are falling asleep. And they're not really paying attention. And then they see what's happening, and of course, they wake up, as any of us would probably be wide awake if we were witnessing this thing that was happening. We'd be like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And I have to wonder, this, you know, they're seeing what's happening. Do they think, am I really awake? Is this really happening? Is this, you know, is this real? Is this what's going on? And so that probably woke them right up. You know, this wasn't some amazing dream. This is something that they're actually experiencing, something that they're seeing, a conversation that they actually get to be witness to. And so just 8 days prior, you know, Jesus had been sharing the exact same things with his disciples that now he's speaking about with Elijah and Moses. You know, I'm going to go away. I'm going to have to be a sacrifice. All of these things that he had said before that they probably fully didn't grasp, and they didn't really fully understand. And honestly, even in this moment, this supernatural moment that they're experiencing, you know, we know as we read further into Scripture, they still didn't really quite understand what it is that Jesus was saying. They knew that there were things that were to happen, but they didn't fully grasp what that meant for them and what that meant for Jesus. And so Jesus, he's praying, and he's transfigured, and Elijah and Moses, they show up, and the disciples, they recognize what is happening. They look around, they see, oh, this is awesome. And Peter, he says, Master, it is good for us to be here. He's looking around, and he's like, this is amazing. It is so good that we get to be a part of this. And because it is so good, I never want to leave this place, right? And it's so good for us to be here that I think what we should do is that we should build 3 structures, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And we should just stay in this place because it is so good. I never want to leave because it is so awesome and so good. I hope, you know, that we could stay on this mountaintop, I'm sure is what he is thinking. And you know, that may be true for a lot of us here. We've had these mountaintop experiences where it was so good to be there and we didn't want to leave. You know, for years as a youth pastor, and other experiences too, but this really reminds me of it, I would go to a camp, or we would go to Nazarene Youth Conference, or we would go, or even as a kid, that Sunday service at General Assembly, if you've ever been there. There are these great experiences, and you think while you're there, oh, it is so good to be here. I never want to leave. I just want to stay in this place. And wouldn't it be so amazing if we could just stay in this place with the presence of God and the community with his people? This is where I want to be. It is so good to be here. And we want to camp out in those places, and we don't want to leave. And so that's what Peter is experiencing. He's saying, oh, this is such a good place. It's so good to be here. I don't want to leave. I want to camp out right here. I'm going to build these 3 structures. But you know what the cool thing is? You know, it wasn't the time for them to stay there, right? It wasn't the time to build structures and to stay in that place. But there will be a time. There will be a time, and this is what Jesus is saying, that we will get to say, oh, it is so good to be here. And we will not have to leave that mountaintop experience. There is a time that is to come, right, that is going to be so amazing that we can set up camp and we never have to leave there. But Jesus, he knew, hey, this isn't the time to set up camp and stay here. We have to come down from this mountain because there is work still to be done. there are things that we still need to do. Yes, we can enjoy this moment. Yes, we can say, oh, isn't the presence of the Lord amazing? It is good to be here. But it's also very necessary for us not to stay here right now. And so as Peter is saying this, what happens is a cloud comes and covers them. And as the cloud comes and covers them, they are fearful, right? And the cloud that covers, they're swept up into the cloud. And I don't think I'm stretching this that they would know that this was significant. Because the people that were up there in that experience were the Jewish people, right? And they would know of the cloud that led the people in the wilderness. They would know that this cloud was the very presence of the Lord. And they would be fearful because they were entering into the very presence of the Lord. And so this cloud, it covers them, and they're sucked up into it, and they hear a voice. And they hear a voice, and it says, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." What an experience, right? And I would venture to guess then that Peter and James and John, you know, they traveled to that mountaintop to pray with Jesus. They wanted to be with him, but they could never in a million years have thought up all the things that they would experience in that day, all the things that they would witness in that time, right? First, Jesus, he begins to pray. And I can't even imagine, even if none of this happened, what it would be like to be in the presence of Jesus as he prays. So that's enough, right, to be in the presence of Jesus as he prays. But not only are they in the presence of Jesus as he's praying, but they watch him completely change. He's so immersed in his conversation with the Lord that it physically changed his appearance. So they've witnessed this. Then, not only that, you know, they've heard Jesus praying. That's really awesome. They see him completely changed before their eyes due to, you know, how close he was with the Father. But then they see Moses and Elijah appear, and they're having a conversation with Jesus. And then, not only that, but they're completely covered and enveloped by the very presence of God. And maybe for the very first time, hear the audible voice of the Lord. Now, I do not think when they woke up that morning that they could ever imagine that that's what they were going to encounter. But this is what happened to them. So God, he tells them, listen to Jesus. Follow his instruction, because he was chosen by me. Early in chapter 9, as we briefly read, Jesus shared with his disciples what was going to happen to him. And it also said that the disciples heard him saying these exact same things to Moses and Elijah. However, Peter still said, even in hearing all those things that needed to happen, he knew they needed to happen. He said, it is good for us to be here. And he wanted to stay in that place. Because even though he knew other things needed to happen, he wanted to stay in that place. So God speaks up and he says, hey, I know you want to stay here, but you need to listen to Jesus. You need to follow his instruction. You need to do what it is that he's asking you to do, because I chose him and I set him apart and I sent him here to make all things new. So it's very important that you pay close attention to what it is that he has to say. It would have been a really easy thing to do, right, to stay camped out in that place. It would have been so easy to say, oh, this is enough. Let's stay here. This is good enough. But they could never imagine how much better it was going to be. If they would have stayed in that place, they would have missed out on all of the things that were to come, right? They would have missed out on all of the blessings. Even though they were in the midst of a lot of really tough things, they'd have missed out on a lot of things if they were to stay in that place and to stay in that experience. It would be awesome to stay there, but they just couldn't. They couldn't stay, because what did they need to do? They needed to leave the mountain and they needed to go back down to the level place. They couldn't stay up there. It was so good for them to be there and so important for them to share in that experience and to hear the words of God. But if they stayed in that place, they couldn't do the work that happens down in the level place. There's still work to be done down there, kingdom work to be done. Right. And as believers, there are a lot of times when we would like to hide away together, especially now, especially with the things that are happening in our world, all of the evil and all of the scary things that are happening. Wouldn't it be so nice if we just got to be together, right? And just stay together, praising and worshiping the Lord outside of the mess, you know, tucked away together. But that is not what Jesus asked us to do. Now, there will be a time when that is all we have to do, right? All we will have to do someday is to be in community with other believers and in the presence of the Father. We will get to camp out. We will get to stay in that place, but it's not time yet. It's not time yet. It's time, and it was time then, to come down from the mountain into the level place, because there is such a high calling in being among the marginalized. There is such a high calling in being a messenger of hope, right? To bring the truth of the story of Jesus to the people who desperately need to hear it. But the disciples, they couldn't have known in that time, right? Because they were living in it. They were in the moment with Jesus, and they couldn't have really grasped the weight of their calling because they were still right in the middle of it. But it was still so important for them to come down to the level place with Jesus. And so not long after the transfiguration of Jesus, James and John and Peter, they came down from the mountain, and they were immediately confronted with hurting people. They were bombarded when they came down by people in need of the hope of Jesus. None of them at that time had spoken, it says in Scripture, none of them had spoken about the things that had happened to them up on the mountain. But I would imagine that as they're in the midst of all of the chaos, as they're in the midst of the hurting people of the level place, I would imagine that they continued to reflect on all that it is that they had just experienced on the mountaintop. It is so good for us to be here, and it's so good for us as believers to be together and worship together a holy God as one body. But we look around and we know that we are in the midst of a hurting and a broken world. And there are people in our world that are in desperate need of encounters with Jesus. The people around us, people in our lives, people in our neighborhoods, people that we pass in the grocery store, are so in need of genuine encounters with Jesus. And we are a people who have had those, right? We have had encounters with Jesus. And because of this, we know that Jesus can make all things new. He brings hope and life. And we are to be messengers of this hope, to share these stories of the encounters that we've had with Jesus in ways that change the world around us. We have to come down from the mountain, and we have to come down to the level place among the people, because there is still work to be done. So this morning, we're going to join each other once again in communion. And as we join each other in communion, we're going to come to the table as one body, and we're going to reflect on the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. But we need to reflect in a way, in knowing that he continues to make things new. And so this morning, just something a little bit different, before we take communion together, I just want us to all bow our heads and kind of silently pray about ways that we can begin to invite people to this table, this open table that we have, ways that we can begin to invite others to join us and share the hope of Jesus. So let's just pray this morning together. Father, this morning before we join each other in taking communion, we would just ask that you would give us opportunities to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. That you would give us opportunities to share this hope that we have with others and to find ways that we can begin to invite people to your table, that we can invite others to come alongside us on this journey and be messengers of hope. In your name, amen. We turn to Mark chapter 14, if you have your Bible with you. Mark chapter 14, verses 22 to 25. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink from it again, from the fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it in the new kingdom." We're going to join each other in a song.